Tickets, please.
Welcome back to the show. Todd Zwillick with you. That is our movie branding because it's Friday, also known as Movie Day. On The Takeaway, this week we got a couple of wide releases. We got a lot of movies this week, some wide releases including Hangover 3, as well as some smaller indies. We're going to see how many of these we can get through. I think there are six, but as usual, the Movie Day team, Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer, are here to weigh in. Rafer, of course, film critic for Newsday. Hi, Rafer.
Hi, Todd.
Joining us over the line today, and Kristen Meinzer, cultural producer here for The Takeaway, joining me in studio. Hi, Kristen.
Hey, Todd.
Okay, guys, you know me. It's trivia time, so get your trivia hats ready. Don't answer yet, but try to keep this one in mind. So listen to this graduation speech from a 1989 teen classic. Listen.
I've glimpsed our future, and all I can say is, go back.
Now, your question is, who is pining in the crowd for the graduation speaker right there? Who's doing the pining while she speaks? Think about it. 1989, teen classic. We'll get back to it. Don't worry. All right, let's get to this week's movies. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
Hangover 3, we have a clip. I saw the first two. Oh, my God. Listen.
Chow is a cancer, so we're going to hand him over to this guy, Marshall.
We have no idea where he even is.
Phil.
What, Alan?
Well, I was just going to say, I got this strange email the other day. I wasn't sure what it meant, but now I think it might be from Chow.
Fatty, it feels good to be out. I'm close by. Tell no one. I'll be in touch. Chow.
This says Chow.
How did you not know this was from Chow?
At the time, I thought it was Chow like goodbye.
Zach Galifianakis, Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms, Kristen Meinzer, Hangover 3.
Well, first of all, as usual with the other Hangover movies, you have the wolf pack. Doug, one of the main characters in the wolf pack, gets separated from the rest of the group. The other three members of the wolf pack, played by Bradley Cooper, Zach Galifianakis, and Ed Helms, need to get Doug back. The way they're going to do it is a bad guy who's kidnapped Doug says, I will trade you, Doug, if you can get Mr. Chow. Because I hate Mr. Chow. So that is the premise of the movie. And of course, there are going to be all sorts of hijinks and lots of drugs. And I will say this. I did not hate it as much as The Hangover 2.
Okay.
I hated it less. I found it to be less violent, less angry, and less racist. However, I did find it to be awfully boring and not funny, unfortunately.
Rafer Guzman, Kristen Meinzer has a lot going for her, but she's not a dude. You are. So what about Hangover 3?
Well, I liked the first Hangover 3. I had to admit it won me over. Second Hangover, a little rocky. I feel like this Hangover is sort of the final bullet to the head in this franchise. I really thought this was such a dark, nasty, sour, joyless film. That clip you heard right there, I think, is probably the closest thing to a belly laugh you'll get in this film. Everyone seems cranky, irritable. They insult each other. Nothing's funny. There's something very dark about it. I feel like they're kind of willfully saying, please, America, don't ask us for Hangover 4.
And I don't think anybody is going to ask for Hangover 4. Now, Hangover is only up to number 3. The Fast and Furious franchise, they've doubled that, man. They are up to 6. Fast and Furious 6 is out in theaters today. Here's a clip.
This is going to have to be me alone.
It's not that simple. The crew we're after, they hit like thunder and disappear like smoke. You go in alone, you won't ever touch them. Been chasing this guy across 4 continents and 12 countries, and believe me, the last damn place I want to be right now is on your front doorstep selling Girl Scout cookies. I need your help, Dom.
I heard from Vin Diesel there. I heard from Dwayne The Rock Johnson, as I've been informed is his real name, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Rafer. They're doing 6 of these. They got to be good at them by now.
I'll tell you, I actually thought Fast 5 was kind of the artistic high point of this franchise, if I do say so. This one's a little bit more of a come down. The car thieves have become a kind of a paramilitary organization of sorts, so it stretches credibility. But I think the real point of this franchise is the great stunts, the familiar characters, the multiracial cast, which I think is really important and appealing. And this time we've got Michelle Rodriguez, who I love. She's back as Letty. We thought she was dead. She's back. I think she adds a lot to the film. So, I gave this 2.5 out of 4 stars. I think it's a pretty good summer flick.
Kristen Meinzer, are you on Team Vin Diesel or Team Rock? I know it's one.
Oh, I love The Rock. I think The Rock is fantastic. But I do take issue with something Rafer said. He brought up credibility. I don't think credibility even belongs in the conversation when we're talking about Fast and Furious and this whole franchise. And I will admit, I have not seen the prior 5 movies. This is my first Fast and Furious movie. But my 2 biggest criticisms, number 1, not sufficiently fast. Number 2, not sufficiently furious. This was pretty ordinary car chasing stuff to me, not creative, just I'm going down a road fast.
You were not infuriated at all.
I kind of was that it took up so much of my time.
Oh, yeah. I see. All right. Well, but you're the uninitiated, so this seems like we have a split decision there. You might come down a little bit from the high if you've seen 1 through 5. Kristen says if you're new to it, maybe not. All right, Kristen, now Rafer, you have not seen this next movie called We Steal Secrets is the next one. Kristen, you have seen this. This is a documentary film by Alex Gabney about the WikiLeaks story.
Yes.
Let's hear a clip.
This leak is industrial scale. It touches every relationship the United States has with other countries around the world. Even as the United States and others try to manage the impact of this, it will be a wound that just keeps, you know, opening up on a recurring basis.
That's a clip from P.J. Crowley, former State Department spokesman, talking about Julian Assange.
Yes. Yeah. So this movie, like a lot of Alex Gibney documentaries, does a great job of just sucking you in. It's a great character study. What we have here is a look at how Julian Assange moves from being a hacker to somebody who is really dedicated to transparency in the media to something that's a little bit uglier, or a lot uglier, as a human, as a character. He doesn't like transparency in his own life, and he's not necessarily an upstanding citizen himself. And the film just does a great job of kind of—
Is it a hit piece, though, or—
Is it a what?
A hit piece on Assange?
I would say it's somewhat of a character attack or a character reveal, but okay. It really first celebrates transparency and then shows how he can't do it himself. But it also does a great job of showing Bradley Manning as a really fascinating character, which I think is hard to do considering Bradley Manning is not actually in the film. They show him mostly through emails, and I think it's genius how his character plays out just through emails. And it's a great film.
All right. Now, Rafer, you have seen Noah Baumbach's new indie film in theaters called Francis Ha. Let's hear a clip.
Do I look old to you?
No. Yes. How old?
Older than I am. Older than... 27?
No. 27 is old, though.
Rafer, give us a quick hit on this one. What'd you think?
Well, this is another story about aimless 20-something creative types in New York, which made me prepared to hate it. But I have to tell you, I walked out of this movie completely in love with it, completely in love with Greta Gerwig. It's really wonderful, especially if you hate shows like Girls. I think you would love Francis Ha.
All right. That's a vote for Francis Ha from Rafer Guzman. Guys, let's go back to trivia if we can. We're going to replay this trivia clip. Listen.
I've glimpsed our future, and all I can say is... Go back.
That's a graduation speech from a 1989 teen classic. The question is, who's pining in the crowd, Kristen?
Oh my gosh, this is killing me because I know the speech and I just cannot remember the movie. I'm so sorry that
Rafer,
I don't have this.
Who's pining in the crowd during that speech?
I'm going to take the wildest stab and say John Cusack.
And you are right. The control room is cheering. That's John Cusack is pining. That's from 1989. Say Anything.
Oh, yes,
Hughes
of
classic.
Course.
Good job, Rafer. Rafer gets the trivia prize for this week. Good job, guys. Rafer Guzman, Kristen Meinzer, our movie team. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, Todd.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.